Bridge Church VA online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
So I want to go ahead and dive right into our message today, because I believe that today's message is probably one of the most important messages in this entire series of generosity. We've been in this series called Making Change, and this series has been all about how God uses our generosity to make a difference in the lives of people. And the thing that I want us to get more than anything else is for us to realize that the generosity that God calls us to flow in, it's not, you know, something that's meant to be like happenstance. It's not meant to be just something that we just do and that we should just look at lightly. But the generosity that God calls us to exhibit is the very thing that he wants to use to bring forth change. Hence the reason why we've called this series Making Change. If you've missed any part of it, go online, go download our app from the App Store. You can listen there. But I'm going to kind of dive right into today's message. And if you have our app already or haven't downloaded, go ahead and download it, because in the app we actually have today's sermon notes where you can fill in the blank, take notes, all that good stuff. But I want to read some scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. And then from there I'm going to dive into it. And so I feel like we're a little low on energy today. So I'm going to do some call and response really quick just to kind of make sure that we are awake. So when I say amen, I want y'all to say amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, man, I need y'all to wake up a little bit, man. If y'all don't talk, then the preacher preaches longer, and you don't want that. I can preach for 2 hours and love it. You probably wouldn't, but I would. I'm just being real with you. It's what I've been called to do. So you ain't been called to listen for 2 hours, but I can preach for 2 hours. You want me to do that? Is that what you want? When I'm talking to our kids sometimes, and like they get in trouble and stuff like that. I'll be like, hey, if y'all don't listen, I'm going to take this away. Is that what you want? And they'll be like, no, is that what you want? You want me to preach for 2 hours? No, okay then. Come on, church family. Come on, somebody. Talk to your boy. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Here's what it says. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly, everybody say sparingly, will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously, everybody say generously, will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful, everybody say cheerful. Cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Some of y'all love that part right there. I thank God that he blesses me. Ain't nothing wrong with saying that. Thank God. But it doesn't stop there. He says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, notice what it says. You will be enriched in every way. Doesn't mean that you'll be a millionaire. It just simply means that God will increase in all areas in your life. Why? So that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. In verse 14, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I want to look at verse 7. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you're taking notes, I'm simply calling this message joyful generosity. Tell somebody beside you, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So you'd be like, no, I don't know about that, Pastor. I'll talk about it in a minute. Joyful generosity. There was a study that was done by the University of Zurich not too long ago, earlier this year, and the studies that they concluded and kind of partook in was as they surveyed people and different acts of generosity that they would oftentimes exhibit and engage in. They studied the mannerisms of people. They studied the moods of people. They studied what people did and how people responded when they would offer up acts of generosity. And it was interesting because as they studied this people and the people that they were following, they found a few things that were interesting. And the one thing that was most important was this. They found that generous people, as they studied them, typically had elevated levels of mood elevation and happiness. They found, in short, that the more generous people were, the more happy they were. The more generous people were, it elevated levels in the brain that contribute to mood elevation. It concluded that the more people gave, the more happy they felt. And I found that to be very interesting because I feel like it echoes what Jesus says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where the Apostle Paul, as he's giving his farewell address to the people in Ephesus, to the church of Ephesus, in particular the Ephesian elder pastors in Ephesus, he talks about how he worked with his own hands and did all this hard work to be able to help those who were in need. And he caps it off by saying this at the end of Acts chapter 20, verse 35, quoting the Lord Jesus, matter of fact. He says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, the reason why that is so astounding to me in light of this University of Zurich study that was released about midsummer, around July time of this year, is because when you look at the original translation, blessed in Acts 20, 35, it translates in the original language to what we would know as happy, or fortunate, or joyful. As a matter of fact, in the beginning of this year, we did a whole series called Finding Happiness in an Unhappy World. How many of you guys remember that series? And for the whole series, we talked about true happiness looks like based upon what was known as the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus was talking about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is this person. Blessed is this person. In other words, Jesus is talking about, happy are these people. And here Paul uses the same description when he says that of giving and generosity. Happy are those who are generous. Happy are those who are not holding on to things for their own benefit, but happy are those who share what they have. There is more joy, Jesus says, in giving than in receiving. Now, I like what Paul says here, and I like, because he's quoting Jesus. Now, we don't have any record of this in the Gospels, but just because it's not in the Gospels doesn't mean actually Jesus said it. John chapter 21 talks about how Jesus did so many things that we wouldn't even have enough page of scripture to actually contain them. So I doubt one bit that Jesus said this. But I think it's interesting that Jesus doesn't disqualify receiving. He just simply says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So there is a blessing with receiving. We've received salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is a blessing. I don't know about y'all. I'm happy about that. But then Jesus goes a step further. He says, if you like that, there's more happiness, there's more joy in giving and being generous. Why? Because in our generosity, we begin to show on full display the grace, the mercy, the love of God towards other people. It is a tangible expression of God's grace. It's a tangible expression of God's love. In other words, it isn't just something that we talk about. It is actually something that we do, which helps us to understand that generosity is meant to be a joyful thing that we do. But I would argue that a lot of times when we think about generosity, we don't think of it as a joy. We think of it as a drag. I gotta help this person. They need a ride again. Do I really gotta get them some more money? That's how we approach it oftentimes. And I get it, you know, sometimes it is difficult to sometimes be generous to people, especially like when they just continue to come to you and come to you, or when you see a need, and see a need, and see a need. But I would argue that even in the midst of the frequency of our generosity, that God still wants us to maintain the joy in generosity. Y'all remember that Christmas song that everybody's gonna sing in a few weeks? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. What's interesting about that song is, you know, we oftentimes think of it from our vantage point because we receive this gift. I oftentimes ask myself the question, I wonder if it's really more so about not the joy that we receive, but God wants us to see the joy that he had to give his son to the world. Maybe we got this whole generosity thing flipped upside down. Because we oftentimes think, like, giving is all about me. It's all about what I can get in return. It's all about me sowing a seed so that way I can reap a harvest. It's not about that at all. It's not about how you benefit. It's about how others benefit. But here's the awesome thing. When you are generous the right way, there will be a joy that accompanies it. That is why that study is pretty accurate. And I love when studies catch up to Jesus. Because Jesus has been saying this forever. He's like, hey, I only said this 2,000 years ago. It took y'all 2,000 years to figure this thing out. About time. You're kind of tardy for the party here. Our generosity, y'all, is meant to be a joy, not a burden. And I believe that the thing that God wants to do in our hearts today is he wants to begin to recalibrate our hearts. That we wouldn't look at our giving as a dread. We would look at it as a joy. In the scripture that we read in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul is urging the believers in Corinth to complete their generous act that they had committed themselves to, which was to help the struggling church and the believers in Jerusalem. And he begins to lay on thick this whole theology of what biblical Christian generosity looks like. It's probably one of the most thorough explanations in scripture, more than likely, of what true biblical giving and generosity looks like. So all throughout these chapters 8 and 9, that's all Paul is talking about. That's all he's talking about. But he, in the beginning of it, in chapter 8, so Paul does, he's not really emphasizing like the what to give. He emphasizes the why we give. The why. Somebody say the why. Somebody say the why. Here's why. If you don't understand the what will never make sense to you. If you never comprehend and digest the why into your heart, whenever God asks you for a what, you will say, what? It won't make sense. But I like how Paul grounds this theology of giving in God's grace. I mean by God's grace, God's unmerited favor, his unmerited love. He extended Christ to us even though we didn't deserve it. He extended love to us even though you and I did not deserve it. You and I did not deserve to even be a part of the family of God. Paul reminds the church of this so that this would be the rocket fuel and the gasoline that they need to be motivated to be generous. Notice what he says in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8 through 9. He says, I'm not commanding you. No, not at all. I'm not putting no pressure on you. I like how Paul says that. I'm not commanding you, but then he says this. I just want to test you. I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. What Paul was talking about here was the Macedonian believers who were in another area. When they heard about the Jerusalem church struggling, they stepped up and were willing to give in a way that was surpassing that of the Corinthians who were more financially affluent than the Macedonians. Paul says, hey, I want to test the sincerity of your heart. How's your heart look? Keeps on going. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like how he says this. That though he was rich, meaning he had all the eternal riches of heaven in heaven, yet for your sake he became poor, speaking of his incarnation, speaking of how he left the riches of heaven to come to a broken, to a dark, to a fallen world. He became poor so that through his poverty, notice what Paul says, you might become rich. Let me say it again. Paul says, Jesus, who was rich, he became poor so that through his poverty, you could become rich. That's what Jesus did. And Paul's talking about rich financially. He's talking about rich spiritually. He's talking about rich in eternal life. Not the eternal life just that I go to heaven when I die. Jesus didn't come to preach a gospel that says, believe in me so that way when you die, you go to heaven. Jesus preached the gospel so that way you could have an eternal life that wouldn't just start when you get to heaven, but would start right here on earth. That's what eternal life looks like. And Paul is helping them understand this. He says, hold on, before we start talking about generosity, y'all, let's talk about the generosity of our God and what he did for you. Because everything that you have, you didn't earn it, you didn't work for it, and you sure enough don't deserve it. Not one bit. Everything that you and I have is simply because of the grace and mercy of God. What are those things, Pastor? Let's start with salvation, the number one thing that you have. He paid a debt for you that you and I could never pay for ourselves. If you need some more assistance, look at your own life. You're working jobs that you don't deserve. You got finances that you don't deserve. You got things happening in your life that you didn't work for. Doors opening up right now that you didn't even pray for to open. Why? Because God is generous. God is gracious. God is good. God is faithful. God is loving you. And so Paul says, all of our generosity, it starts here. That if we miss what God has done for us, it will breed and create this selfish desire. Paul reminds the believers of the why. Somebody say why. If you lose your why, you will lose your way. If you lose sight of the why of what God did, you will begin to lose the what. You will begin to lose the way. This can be applied in every area of life. For those of us who are married in here, if you lose the why you got married, you'll lose your way in your marriage. Amen? Even when it comes to your job, if you lose the why and the how you got that job, you'll start to complain about your job. I always find it interesting how we'll pray for God to open up doors and bless us with things, and then he actually does it, and then some months later we start complaining about the very thing that we prayed for that he gave us. It's like we're spiritually schizophrenic. Right? Right, like seriously, God oftentimes he'll convict us on it, even in our own household, you know what I'm saying? Especially when kids start teething. It's like, oh my gosh, these kids are monsters now. The same monsters that you pray for? Come on, somebody, am I alone in this thing? And a lot of times what happens is, if we don't remember and reflect on how good God has been and how he's opened up doors and how he's blessed us with things that we don't deserve, those things that were once blessing, because we don't turn it into praise, ends up becoming a curse. And God says, I don't want you to forget what I've done for you. So I know that car continues to break down. I know the AC and the heat, it ain't working right now, but thank God that you got transportation. This was the same thing that you prayed and asked me for. Don't curse it now. It's getting real quiet in here. Must have struck a nerve. Paul says, I want you to know the reason why we're generous. It's not even so that way we can be a blessing to people. That's a good, noble reason. That's a great reason. It's not even so that way people who are struggling can get help. That's a good reason, but that is not the chief reason. The chief reason why we are called to be generous as Christ followers is because God was generous to us. That's the only legitimate reason that will lead to long, sustained generosity. Because if it was based upon how good people are, you would never be generous. If it was based upon your feelings and your emotions, there would be some days where you would be incredibly generous, and there would be days where you're holding on to everything. But when you think about what Jesus did for you on the cross, and how he went to a cross, even though he more than likely did not feel like it in his body after being beat beyond recognition and beat to a bloody pulp, how he still mustered up enough strength to go to the hill called Calvary, to carry a cross, to sit up on a cross for over 6 hours and to say things like, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That's called generosity, y'all. And when I think about that, that becomes the fuel. That's the why. You lose your why, you lose your way. Even for those of us who serve in our church, if you lose the why of what you do, the what you're doing will become meaningless. Man, do I got to continue to get here early to set up? Man, do I got to keep prepping sermons? Do I got to keep leading a small group? Do I got to keep serving in kids? When you forget the why, the what no longer has value. But the why is because of what Jesus has done for us. The why is because we want to see people who don't know Christ come to know Jesus. That's it. And so now when that becomes the fuel, the what, there is no limit to what I'll do. Because it's all about what Jesus has done for me. Is this making sense? That's what Paul spends the most of his time talking about in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. That's the theology and the framework that he begins to function with. Generosity is all about the why. And so now the what of generosity, what are we generous with? Everything. Everything. We don't compartmentalize what we're generous with. We're generous with our time. We're generous with our resources, with our finances. We're generous with our abilities. We're generous with what God has given us. We're generous with our influence. We're generous in every way possible. There is no limitation to how we are called to be generous. Because Jesus gave his everything, you and I are called to give nothing less than that. We're called to be generous in every way. So when it comes to joyful generosity, because generosity is meant to be joyful, y'all, here's a few things I want us to understand as I'm going to move quickly through these points. Number one, joyful generosity, what is it? It is what God loves. God loves joyful generosity. Notice what Paul says going back to verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Notice what he says in verse 7. Each of you should give whatever you have decided in your own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What does God love? A cheerful, a happy, a joyful giver. He does not like when we give with a begrudging type of spirit. He does not like when we give and are complaining about it. He does not like when we give and we're constantly reluctant or we're under compulsion. He loves when we give out of the overflow and out of the abundance of our heart because of what he's done for us in Christ. That's the type of generosity that God loves. I'm not making it up. That's what Paul says here. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God loves a cheerful giver. It's interesting because cheerful in the Greek language, the language the New Testament was written in, it's the Greek word hilaros, which is where we get our English word hilarious. Isn't that funny? No pun intended. Isn't that funny? And it's not talking about like laughing uncontrollably. It's talking about this uncontrollable joy. God loves that type of a giver. God loves the giver who says, man, I can't wait to get there on Sunday morning to set up so that way people can experience the love of Christ. Man, I can't wait to be able to go online and to give my gift financially to the legacy offering on the first Sunday in December because I want to see more people come to Christ. Man, I can't wait to be able to give this person a ride and to help this person in my community because I know what it's going to lead to. That's the type of giver that God loves, y'all. Cheerful givers. Not the type of people who say, man, do we got to? Do I have to? Really? I just did this. I just gave this person a ride. Now I got to get him a ride too? Really? That's not the type of spirit in which God wants us to function with. Our giving should be driven not by passivity. Notice what Paul says. You're not to give reluctantly. That means to be passive, to be hesitant. He says that, no, that's not cool. Not one bit. But then he says next, nor are you to give under compulsion. That's pressure. So two things to avoid. Passivity when it comes to my generosity, and then pressure. So God doesn't call us to be passive when it comes to be generous. He calls us to step up to the plate. But God also, he doesn't call us to give under pressure, where you feel like somebody's putting you on a guilt trip. That's not true generosity. If I feel like somebody's putting me on their guilt trip, then I need to evaluate my heart and get my heart in line and ask God, God, would you help me to see how you really want me to be generous because I don't want to just give you anything. Is this making sense? God says, I want you to be joyful in your generosity. Generosity should be something not that we look at that we have to do, but something that we get to do. So the mentality shouldn't be, I gotta give. The mentality should be, I get to give. I get to do this. I get to serve. I get to be a blessing on Thanksgiving Day. I get to help people. I get to be able to shine my light. I'm saying like this. We can either give out of a sense of duty because we think we have to, or we can give out of a sense of delight. And you will always do one or the other. You and I will either give out of a sense of duty or a sense of delight. What do I mean by delight? Meaning that we find joy in making a difference in the lives of others. Here's what Paul will say in Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining. Do everything without complaining. What does Paul mean by everything? Everything. Even my generosity. Everything without complaining. And let's be honest, man, myself included. How many times have we been guilty of making a big deal about us having to be generous? How many times have we complained about being generous? Nobody want to be honest? That's okay. Got a few hands in the back, thank you. We've been kind of having the wrong spirit when it comes to generosity. And maybe it's because of some past experiences. But that's not meant to be the norm for our hearts. Our heart is supposed to be steadfast on giving in a great way. Let me say it like this. Who wants to receive a gift from somebody who never wanted to give it in the first place? Right? Like, have y'all ever asked somebody for something and they made a big deal about giving it to you? And you were like, man, just keep your stuff. I don't want it. You know, like you asked them like for a few extra dollars, and you know, you asked them to kind of help you out with paying this bill, and they were like, all right, I'll do it, but make sure you pay me back. I don't want your stuff because of the spirit in which you do it. Because now you're going to probably hold it over my head. That's not true generosity. Not at all. That's not the type of generosity that God wants us to flow in. No, he says, I want you to have a joyful heart when you and I give. God loves when we love to bless people. God loves when we love to invite people to church on Sunday. God loves when we go out of our way to serve people. God loves it when you and I love what he loves, and what he loves the most is people. I don't know if you knew that or not. God loves people. Which is why every week I'm always telling you, man, who are you praying for? Man, who are you sharing Christ with? Man, who are you inviting to church on Sunday? Because if you think for one second that God saves you just so that way you can have a get out of hell free card, you have missed the gospel. That's not it. It's so much more than that. What point is it for me to be able to be blessed and not be able to share that with others? Man, God gave you so that way you could give to others. That's the whole point. And he loves it, man, when we make a decision that we're going to share what we have been given by him and to do so with a joyful heart. Let me say it like this, that a sign that you're truly being generous is that you don't think about what you lost, you think about what somebody else may gain. That's a sign of true generosity. So if you're looking at, like, your bank account, like, man, I don't really know if I can do this because it's going to set me back. Well, just don't do it. Because that's not the spirit in which generosity should flow. It should flow in the spirit and in the mindset and in the heart that says, man, yeah, I'm going to feel it, but man, they need this. And I want to see them better off. I want to see them experience God's best, man. That's the heart that God loves. And this isn't meant to be a one-time act. This is to be a way of life. Because a lot of times, like, we'll say things like, oh, man, I was generous here, but you're not generous in this area of your life. That's kind of where some of us are right now. Like, let's be honest, man. Like, we may be generous with our finances, but we're not generous with our time. We're not generous with our influence. We're not generous with our resources. We're not generous with the things that God may want us to be generous with. God says, I don't want you to be generous with this and not all of it. I want you to be generous with everything because that's what I did for you. That's what I did. I gave Jesus the greatest act of what generosity looks like so that way he would be the measuring stick and the measuring tape for how you and I should be generous. So I say, you have it all. So I open up my homes to people. I use the resources that I have to be a blessing to people. That's what God is after, true generosity. And he loves it. That's the type of generosity that he loves, a cheerful giver. But not only is that, but joyful generosity is also what God blesses. We'll move through this pretty quickly. Verses 8 through 11, here's what he says. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written in Scripture, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, look at what verse 10 says. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Joyful generosity is what God blesses. It's what God blesses. Now, this scripture oftentimes is twisted to mean so many things that is not meant to be. It's been twisted to mean that if you give constantly, you should be on the lookout for a blessing because God got one coming with your name on it. That if you sow $100, it's going to turn into $1,000. That if you give $10,000, it's going to turn into $10 million. That's not what Paul is advocating for here. Paul is saying that there's a blessing in being generous. He's saying that when you and I are generous, that God will increase it. But don't forget the why behind why God increases it. God increases your generosity so that way you could be more generous. He increases what you give. He increases the abundance of what you have, not so that way your standard of living can increase, but so that your standard of giving can increase. That's why he does it. He gives you more so that you can give more. Now, this goes completely against the grain in our Western culture, because we are in a culture that we live in, it's all about how you can get more. Live in a bigger house, live in a better house, drive six cars even though you only need one. Make $1 million a year, even though you probably don't need to live off of $1 million a year. Get. That's all it's about. But Paul says here, God blesses you so that you can give more. not so you can hold more. God calls you not to be a reservoir, but to be a river with what he's given you. He's called you not to be a container, but to be a conduit. That is the type of blessing, and that is the type of generosity that God blesses. And many times, we're oftentimes trying to figure out, God, why do I have so many financial issues in my life? And I always will ask the question, how do you do and how well are you doing when it comes to you being generous with what you have? Because if I'm struggling a lot financially, not because I'm mismanaging my funds, but if I'm struggling financially just because it seems like, man, it's like I don't have enough or it's really tight, how are you when it comes to trusting God with what he's given you? How are you in that area? How are you? And I like how Paul doesn't say here, give everything that you have. He says, honor God with what you have. Be generous. Give. Give abundantly. That's what Paul's saying here. I'm not making it up. That's what he says. Look at verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Paul tells the Corinthian believers that God gives to those who give so that they can continue to give. Let's do a little spiritual test. The promotion that you've been praying for, has it been so that you can benefit or so that others can benefit? It's real quiet in here. Preacher will say you can hear a rat licking ice. Right? The financial breakthrough that we're praying for, is it so we can benefit? Or so that way we can be more generous? What is it for? And I hear the cries, but pastor, if that's my prayer and that's my cry, if I'm, you know, going to pray for God to give me more so I can give more, I'm not going to have anything for myself. You missed the whole point. Do you not think that God will take care of you as you are aligning yourself with his will? Matthew 6, Jesus says it like this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you not think that he's going to take care of his children? I'll give you a perfect example. One of the things that we're trying to get our children to understand is the concept of sharing and being generous. This very topic, we're walking them through this series ourselves. Do you not realize that everything that Josiah and Aubrey, they have more than enough. They just don't even realize it. But every time that they're generous, do you know what that makes me and Ariel want to do? Anybody who's a parent in here, what does that make you want to do? Give them more. Because now what's happening is they're aligning themselves with what God's heart is. Just be generous. Why would I not want to give you more when your heart is in the right place? Does this make sense? And a lot of times what happens is we just say, God, will you give me, give me, give me. We look at God like he's a spiritual ATM. And he said, why would I continue to give stuff when you only spend it on yourself? You get fat off the blessing that I give you instead of sharing it with others. And God is saying today, man, the type of generosity that I bless and the type of person that I bless is the one who recognizes that everything that they have doesn't belong to them, that they don't live with a closed hand, they live with an open hand. Why? Because that person understands that God is the all-sufficient provider. God will make sure that you have what you need. He will meet every single need in your life. I begin to get to a point in time in my life where I say, God, I'm not even worried about my needs anymore because you got them taken care of. Help me to be a blessing to somebody else. You want me to tell you what that's helped me do? Not stress anymore. God, how's this going to happen? God, how's this going to happen? Because God already knows my needs. And he says, hey, how about you take care of my stuff? I'll make sure you're good. And you know what God did? He actually came through on his word. You know what that does for us? It keeps our stress level down. Many of the reasons why people are having aneurysms and having heart attacks is because they're stressed out about how they're going to take care of themselves when Jesus is saying, would you just focus on me? I'll take care of you. You focus on taking care of other people. That's what God wants to get us through. That's what God blesses. He says, why are you worried about yourself? I got you. Worry about doing what I've called you to do. I will make sure you have plenty of seed to sow and plenty of seed to have in your own life. I'll make sure of it. Matter of fact, here's what Deuteronomy 15:10 says. Give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. Give and God will bless you. It's interesting. What is the principle that this scripture is advocating for? Align yourself with the heart and the will of God, and you will see the blessings of God flow through your life. But they're not just for you. They're so that we others can benefit. That's why. So praise God for the promotion that you got. But begin to pray about, God, how do you want to use this to be a blessing to other people? God, how do you want me to use this so that way other people can experience your love? How do you want to use this Christmas bonus that they're promising that we're going to get? Not so that way I can just go spend it lavishly on myself and buy me some new clothes and buy me some new shoes and buy a new car. But how can I use this to advance your kingdom? When we begin to align ourselves with that, that's when we begin to see God move in incredible ways in our life. Here's what Proverbs 11:24 says. It says, give freely and become more wealthy. Give freely and become more wealthy. That doesn't even make sense. Give freely, it's like, well, if I'm giving, that means I'm losing. No, because as you sow, God is sending. You sow, God is sending. You sow, God is sending. Do you see the cycle here? What happens is when you stop, the cycle stops. You sow, God is sending. You sow, God is sending. God is not going to waste his seed, y'all. I'm not going to give my seed. I'm not going to give what I have and my resources to somebody that I know ain't going to use it and that I know is going to blow it. No, not at all. God is a very much just provider. So why should he bless us with $1 million when you're going to spend $999,000 on yourself? This doesn't make sense. So why would I bless it? Why? I'm not going to give it to the selfish person. I'm going to give it to the one who's generous. The one who is concerned about my will. Here's the last thing. Joyful generosity. It's not only what God loves and what God blesses, but it's also what God uses. Notice what verses 12 through 15 says. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Notice what Paul says. It's supplying the needs of the Lord's people. God uses our generosity to meet the needs of people. That's what he does. That's called making change. If you think for one second that your generosity does not count and it does not matter, it does. It makes a difference. Our church would not be here today if people were not generous. I sat across from another pastor 3 years ago who wrote our church a check for $4,000 because he believed in the vision of our church to reach more people, to be multi-ethnic, to be multi-generational. Did he have to do it? No, not at all. Did he want to do it? Yes, he did. And God used it to meet needs. Matter of fact, y'all see that pipe and drape back there? He was like, hey, I know y'all need pipe and drape. I'm going to write a $4,000 check so that way you can get pipe and drape. Thank God for that, meeting a need. That's what God uses. A lot of times we think like God is going to send manna from heaven again. He been did that. It's done. He sent the greatest manna from heaven in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. And now what happens is as we have received that manna, now he wants us to go give it out to people, especially through our resources, through our time, through our abilities. That is what God uses to reach people, y'all. It's our generosity. So when I stand up here and I say, hey, your giving has made a difference. We've helped plant numerous churches all around the East Coast, all around the West Coast, through our church planting network called ARC, that through your generosity, we were able to help a church in Virginia Beach get started about 9 months ago, and they're still going strong. Marriages are being restored. People are coming off the streets. People are getting saved. People are giving their lives to Christ. Why? Because people like yourselves decided, I want to be generous and leave a legacy and leave a mark. That is what God uses to meet the needs of people. God blesses joyful generosity. Notice what Paul continues to say, verse 13. He says, because of this service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. I want you to actually look back over your life and look at how many times somebody's been generous to you and it was the answer to many of your prayers. How many times have you and I prayed, God, would you bless me with this? God, I'm struggling. God, I need some help. And then somebody out of the blue came and blessed you. How many of y'all ever had that happen? That should be everybody's hand in here because I know God has done it. Even if you're saying he's not, you're lying. He's done it. Somebody's obedience to God was your answered prayer. your obedience to God, my obedience to God when it comes to generosity is somebody's answered prayer. This is why Paul says it will lead to people giving thanks to God and giving praise to God, because it shows people, God heard my cry. God, he is real. God, he is loving. God, he is faithful. You experienced that when somebody was a blessing to you. Why don't you let somebody else experience that by you being a blessing to them? That's what God uses. So you're saying, Pastor, but I don't have a whole lot. We've already been talking about the past few weeks. It doesn't take a lot to do a lot. The little that you have, when you put it in the hands of the master, it becomes much. We talked about the boy with two fish and five loaves of bread and how the disciples easily try to disqualify and say, we don't have enough people. We don't have enough resource to feed all these hungry people here. Jesus says, come bring it here. Put it in my hands. He feeds 5,000 plus people, and he even has leftovers for everybody afterwards. The little that you may have that you disqualify and say it's not a whole lot, in Jesus' hands, if it's your best, he will do a whole lot with it. That's what Paul is getting at here. That's what God blesses. The blessing is not in receiving. The blessing is in giving. And I'm not just talking about us giving to our church. I'm not just talking about us giving to other people. I'm talking about us living a generous life where people know us as being generous. That when somebody says, hey, can you describe Edwin in one word? What would you use to describe? Out of all the things that run through their mind, they will say, this dude is one of the most generous people that I know. Let that be said about our church. Let that be said about the people of God. Christians should be the most generous people on planet Earth, but oftentimes we are the most selfish people. And I find out to be ironic because we've received the greatest gift. But let our generosity reflect the generosity of our God. Here's what Jesus would say in Matthew 5. I'm closing. Ben, you guys can come up. He says this. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine so people would see your good deeds, so that people would see the generous acts, so that they will praise and glorify your Father in heaven. The blessing that God has given us isn't meant for ourselves. It's meant for us to advance his kingdom on earth. The excitement and gratitude that flows from children on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day when you give them the gifts that they've been asking for. Anybody in here who has kids will say, there's greater joy in seeing in that moment than whatever gift I can get. Because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I think that God is trying to do some heart surgery on the inside of us here. Because I think for so long we have believed the lie of society that life is meant to be all about acquiring more wealth and getting more wealth and getting more wealth. For what? So that way we can live a lavish lifestyle? That's a lie from the pit of hell. If we get more, it's simply so that way we can give more. There was a study that was done that showed that the more money people make, the less generous that they are. But the less people had, the more generous they were. It was a study. And what's interesting is you see that even in scripture. There was a story about a widow, and Jesus is sitting in the temple and he's watching everybody come and put coins and put all their offerings in the bucket and in the basket, whatever they may be. And they're putting in large amounts. But then this widow who comes with two little coins puts it in there. Jesus acknowledges and gives her props for what she gave. He says, they gave a lot, but they gave out of their wealth. She gave out of the abundance of what she had. She gave everything she had to live on. And the blessing is on her. God doesn't increase my store supply so that way I could have more for myself. It's so that way I could give. One of the most tragic stories in scripture is when a rich young man comes to Jesus. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, obey your parents, do this, do that, do this, do that. And the guy says, pretty much a smart aleck, he says, I've done all those things from age of a boy. I'm good. He says, you're right. One last thing you need to do. Go sell everything you have, give it away, then come follow me. You know what the Bible says? He walked away sorrowful because he had great wealth. And it wasn't the fact that he had great wealth. The issue was that wealth had him. He was being controlled by it. And Jesus says, no. True followers of mine don't live with closed hands. They live with open hands. Because that is a reflection of what I did on the cross. That me being spread out on the cross was the greatest act of generosity that this world has ever seen. And just as I have been generous to you, I'm calling you to be generous to other people. And Paul says here, don't give on compulsion. Don't give in response to pressure. Decide in your own heart what to give. Now, here's what Paul isn't saying. Paul isn't saying, be lazy and reckless with your giving. Oh, I'm saved by grace. I can just give God $1 and I'm good. No. You've missed it as well. Because if your heart posture is, what little can I give to God and still please God, that shows that your heart is really far from God. It should really be, man, how much can I give to Him? I want to give the best that I can give. That's a joyful, generous person. Those are the type of people that I believe that God uses the most. And I want that to be said of the Bridge Church, especially during this holiday season. I want it to be the norm, not just in this season, but for all of our days. That people would know that, man, those people, man, they're some of the most generous people I've ever met. They're perfect strangers. I've never even met them before. I don't even know them by name. But my God, they are some of the most generous people. They do crazy things like pay people's light bills and be a blessing to people and buying cars for people. They're doing crazy stuff. These people are stupid. No. These people are drunk off the spirit called grace because they realize what they've received and they want to just freely give it away. And let me help you understand something. You know what people are most drawn to? Not the selfish person, the generous person. And I believe that's what God wants to do with us today. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy set before him, he endured the cross. It was a joy for Jesus to get on the cross and to give his life for us. It was a joy. It hurt, but it was a joy. It didn't feel good, but it was a joy. And that's what he wants us to have. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's my question for us today. My question is this. Where are you when it comes to your generosity? Because if it's just simply an obligation, if you look at it just simply as a duty versus a delight, you're missing it. You're missing out on the blessing of being able to give. But God says, I want you to get to a place where you just freely give to people, where you freely help people, no matter who they are, no matter what their color is, no matter what their creed is, no matter what their background is, that you would be generous towards others because I have been generous in a joyous manner towards you. And I think for some of us in here, we need to repent, and that just simply means we need to turn around. We need to turn away from bad practices and from a bad heart posture. And some of that's maybe due to, for those of us who are followers of Christ, being in a certain church background where there was so much pressure on you to give financially, and there was so much pressure on you to do this and to do that, and you, it just kind of stained your heart, and you were like, man, I don't want to do nothing. I'll just give based upon how I feel. That's the opposite. What God wants you to have. But today it needs to be, God, would you forgive me for having that posture? Because I know that that does not reflect your heart. Because you never said, what's the least that I can do for people? No, you said, what's the best that I can give? And I want my heart to be postured and submitted like that. And so if that's your heart's desire, I just want you to say to God, God, forgive me for that. Forgive me for compartmentalizing generosity. Forgive me for having a negative spirit when it comes to being generous. But today I want to have a joyful heart when it comes to being generous. I want to have a joyful spirit when it comes to being generous because you joyfully gave Jesus for me. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here this morning and you've yet to receive the greatest gift that this world has ever seen, being Jesus, today you have the opportunity to receive Him, to believe in Him, to be a part of His family, to receive His forgiveness, to experience His love, to experience His purpose for your life. And if that's you, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for raising back to life so that I could have new life. Thank you for being generous so that I could be generous. I thank you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the generosity of our God this morning. Come on, let's do better than that this morning. Come on, can we make as much noise for our generous King who gave his life on the cross? Come on, let's stand to our feet, give him worship this morning. Come on, we can do better than that this morning. Open up your mouth.